And in the studio with us tomorrow afternoon and into the evening, we have a wonderful event at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, Montana Shakespeare in the Park, and they're going to be doing Taming of the Shrew. And in the studio with us, Christine Holbert, president of the Lost Horse Press. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, everyone.
And Weasel Samter, Sandpoint Chapter of Society for Creative Anachronism. Good morning, Weasel.
Greetings, Sandpoint.
And Vicki Johnson, she is Christine's right-hand person and a volunteer for Montana Shakespeare in the Park. Good morning to you, Vicki.
Good morning, Jim.
How are
and
you?
Jack.
And
good
Jack.
Good morning.
Jack is here as well. Let's start with Christine with the Lost Horse Press. How did it come about that Montana Shakespeare in the Parks comes to Sandpoint? Usually it's been in Heron.
Yes, it's been in Heron for close to 20 years. And about 2 years ago, Debbie Lyman, who was the community host in Heron, decided to retire. So I was hoping that someone would take over the play here in Sandpoint or in Heron, but since no one did, after 2 years, I decided that Lost Horse Press was probably a good fit for that. And so I contacted the Montana Shakespeare in the Parks, and they were ecstatic. They had wanted to come to Sandpoint for many years.
I just have a question that I thought was interesting. I don't know if this is a new development, but the Idaho-Montana border is actually now 30 miles east of here. Was that a problem at all in getting the Montana Shakespeare in the Parks to come cross the border?
No, not at all. That's one of their outreach programs. They're now doing plays in Wyoming, North Idaho, and this year, brand new, they're going to be in Spokane and Liberty Lake as well. So Spokane, cool. Sandpoint was not a stretch.
Now, this is their third year in Liberty Lake. And when they started playing Liberty Lake, they drew in the whole North Idaho audience much closer than going to Libby or to Heron and Trout Creek. This is their first year playing in Spokane. And so their performance in Liberty Lake is going to be at 5 o'clock, not 6 o'clock. And that'll be on Saturday. That'll be after this. They're playing Cyrano de Bergerac, which is not a Shakespeare, in Liberty Lake. And they're also playing in Spokane the next day. So if you want to see both the plays that Shakespeare in the Park are bringing with them, see them in Sandpoint, see them in Liberty Lake, and then if you want to see the first one again, go down to Spokane at Riverfront Park and see them.
Like many people, I thought that Montana Shakespeare's in the Park was just in Montana, but I think the article in yesterday's B said that they're in the Dakotas, they're in Wyoming. What does it mean, Christine, to have Shakespeare, Montana Shakespeare in the Park, come to Sandpoint in terms of what does it bring?
Well, it brings a great cultural event to our town, but also the thing that I really like is that it's going to be held at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, and students and the elderly and people who could not drive to Heron can now enjoy the plays. I was called yesterday by two different representatives from the nursing homes here, Luther Park and Evergreen, and they're bringing vans full of their clients. So I'm really happy that we're reaching an audience that wouldn't traditionally be driving to Heron or anywhere else to see this.
That didn't have the ability to get to Heron. And what it really, Jim, is doing is bringing revenue dollars into the local community. With the spot bus being able to go around, pick up, you know, people that want to go to the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be people that are going to come to town. There are going to be people that are going to spend money. Yeah. So it's bringing it's just helping the economy.
And how did one decide on the fairgrounds as opposed to, let's say, the park near where the festival is held or something like that? What made it the fairgrounds the premier venue?
I work closely with Kim Woodruff, the director of Parks and Rec, to find a good location. And we couldn't use Memorial Field. That was the first choice because the Parks and Rec Department has to get that field ready for the high school football team.
Right.
And they need to water the lawn, fertilize it, and let it go. So we really couldn't be there. There's a bike tour coming through, staying overnight at City Beach for the weekend, so we couldn't use City Beach. And the fairgrounds were absolutely perfect when we looked at all the venues, because if it rains, we only have to move a few feet into the exhibition building, and we're good to go in the rain, smoke, whatever happens. We're still going to have a play, and we don't have to travel across town.
That was really the selling feature behind it, because the fairgrounds afforded us the ability to move inside or stay outside, and with the weather that's been going on, we don't want to negate the issue of somebody not coming because they don't want to get caught out in all of this stuff that's going on.
And
so
I think,
we have the ability to move inside if it turns out.
And I think there's the possibility, Jack, didn't you read of the weather, that there's the possibility tomorrow of some precipitation?
Yes, there is.
About, mm-hmm. I'd like to talk now about tomorrow with the run through the day, because my understanding, it's just not the play itself. There's going to be all sorts of other things happening.
It's totally different than has been going on in Heron. What we're actually doing is almost creating a Renaissance festival, if you will. And what I'd like to do is have Weasel speak to that issue.
Yeah, we're going to have a small Renaissance fair. And this was what brought this together quickly. The Society of Creative Anachronism is a medieval group, reenactment group. And
it's a great name, by the way.
I love it.
This is a great name, especially for the Shakespeare in the Park as well, because the Shakespeare in the Park takes anachronism to a new level. It takes the Middle English, and as far as the show they're doing here, Taming of the Shrew, they're anachronizing it into a Wild West.
I was just going to add that on, that they were going to update it and give it something that Shakespeare never even dreamed of.
Well, some years ago, they did Two Gentlemen of Verona in, I think it was Roaring Twenties style. It's they do an incredible job in these different anachronistic portrayals of the play, and they give the audience new things and new ways to think about it. But back to the medieval village, we're going to set up some tents and some activities. You know, a small vendor's venue in front of the Fish and Game building at the Boundary County Fairgrounds. There's going to be a juggler there. There's going to be music during the day. Mobius Riff, one of the local homegrown groups, does great music, will be playing. Desiree is playing a hammer dulcimer for a while. There's going to also be, there's some fencers coming from the Barony of Weldsmere, which is the Spokane area, Cameron and Adelaide. They're fighters from the Order of the Anvil and the Rose.
They're champions, too.
These are wonderful names, names.
And I'm going to be hammering... doing cold forging with the children. I've done this at the library, so I'm hoping to solicit some of their assistance, because I expect there's going to be too many people for me to help at once there. There's going to be a roving bard named Sans Appel, which means has no name, so you could guess her name yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've also contacted some of the other folks from the various baronies and shires cantons around the area to come in, but we don't know how many people will descend on Sandpoint for this. Hopefully there'll be plenty of them.
How many villages are actually going to be set up?
Well, I think maybe four. There's going to be representatives from four different areas.
Good.
And now this will go on from 1 o'clock until showtime?
Right.
That's correct. We're going to close down a little bit ahead of showtime to let people settle into their places in front of the stage.
Okay.
So that'll be about from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock.
Okay. So, Christine, I'll ask you this: people come anywhere between 1 o'clock and showtime. What can they bring with them? Can they bring food, or will the food be available at the fairgrounds? Those sorts of things that people might be asking.
People can show up at 1 o'clock. They should bring chairs, blankets. The setup for the chairs and blankets will be the same as in Heron. The blankets will be in the front, low lawn chairs behind the blankets, and tall lawn chairs behind that. People should bring picnics, bottles of wine, and there will be a few food vendors, but because we didn't know what kind of audience we were going to get, we couldn't promise the food vendors a certain number of sales. We didn't invite that many food vendors, but I think there are going to be a few. And I know Megan from Hope is going to be selling her wonderful iced tea laced with flowers. There's going to be a lavender lady with all sorts of lavender things, so probably cookies and ice cream. So it's probably safest to bring a picnic, but there will be a few food vendors there. And Lost Horse Press will be selling books. Kim and Brooke Spencer will be doing a spinning wheel demonstrations and sales of yarn goods. So there'll be a basket making demonstration. So there'll be lots of events during the afternoon to keep people engaged while they're waiting for the play and enjoying their picnic.
What we're trying to do is maintain the same concept or idea that was in Heron. So what we want people to do is bring their own coolers, bring their own drinks. They can set up, they can mark their spot, if you will, for where the play is, and then go enjoy the village. Bring their stuff, set it down, come spend the day with us, and everything's free.
That I think is an important
thing. That's the thing we've trying to maintain, that everything is free.
Everything is free, and it's a family. And when I think of Shakespeare's plays.
Exactly.
You know, I think of like King Lear. I don't know if that's a family play, but Taming of the Shrew is a sheer delight. And I would think, let me go back to Weasel. Now, do you have a character? You've been mentioning places where people are coming from the Society of Creative Anachronism. Do you have a persona?
Well, I don't have a definite persona per se, but I do work with metal and work with, metal in different ages. I try to forge in a Viking style oftentimes, or later on with a blower and a coal forge in a late, a 16th century type style. Those folks from the Anvil and the Rose, they're all forge folks, and they'll be able to speak to that to audiences, and quite possibly one of the local folks, H. Hilton, will bring his forge and maybe have a demonstration on how it works, or maybe just have there to show people how it works if he doesn't have it fired up.
Now you talk about setting up a village. Now, does this require structures or people? I take it people are in dress, medieval dress?
Right. We'll be in medieval dress. We're going to have a few tents set up to represent a village.
Okay.
We're definitely not living there, so it's definitely a nomadic village set up for the time only. And just to create the ambiance. And so if people would like to dress up in their best Ren Faire garb and come by and play the day away with us, that would increase the feeling of the medieval village in front of the fairgrounds there.
Also, if people don't want to dress up in medieval garb, they can dress up in cowboy outfits. Since the play has a Western spin, come in your cowboy boots and hats.
Absolutely. We're talking with Vicki and Weasel and Christine about Shakespeare, Montana Shakespeare's in the Park in Idaho at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. The doors or gates open at 1 o'clock, and there's going to be a medieval village with all sorts of music and crafts and arts and
performances.
There's going to be some fights, aren't there?
Well, hopefully those folks with the rapiers will bring some adversaries to fight against them.
Ah. And not just pick somebody out of the audience.
Or have to fight amongst themselves.
And this could be great for an entire family. I think little children would just love to see something like this and provoke their imaginations. Exactly. And then the play begins at 6 o'clock. And as Vicki said, bring coolers, bring blankets, bring chairs. Christine, lots of parking, isn't there?
Yes, lots of parking. All of the fairgrounds, and then across the little road, there's a huge field to park in. So I think there'll be sufficient parking. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that I'm very proud that the green team is going to be recycling all of the trash. There's not going to be anything thrown away. So we want to thank the green team for joining us.
Now, one of the performances I failed to mention earlier is Sandpoint's own Old Fire Tribal Dance and Friends of the Dance are going to be performing American tribal style belly dancing. And that'll be at approximately 4:30. We don't have an exact schedule of the events, but we're going to move from one performance to another in the medieval village.
I was going to ask you if there will be a set schedule, or it just, like in any village, it just occurs whenever it occurs?
Well, there are some things that we're trying to schedule just so that we can have the sound system set up for that. But there will be other things that will happen in between the performances. And so quite possibly the juggler is going to bring her tall, stilted friends with her. So we might have a giant.
Christine, I'd like to ask you, whose idea was it to not just have the play, but everything else that goes around with it, this medieval village and the performers and the crafts, and because this is more than just Taming of the Shrew.
Well, when people who know me know that when I latch onto a project, that this is the way I do it. So I had the idea of having more than just the play for people to enjoy the whole afternoon with us. But when I mentioned this to Weasel at one of the contra dances that Emily Faulkner and I put on each month, he jumped in with both feet, and I didn't realize how ambitious he was going to get with all of this village and performers. So we can all thank Weasel Samter and Vicki Johnson and Lorna Martin for jumping in full force to create that.
We were shanghaied.
You know, Jim, what I'd like to talk about is this is not the three of us. This has been a passion of love by the community. There has been such an outpour. I get chills when I talk about it. There has been such an outpour. There's been people that have come forward, that have opened their homes. The actors are staying with them. There's been people that have come forward that are cooking all the food, the dinner, the lunch for all this troupe, for the production. All of this has been provided by donations. It's been an outpouring of love by the community that has come forward that wants this to happen, that wants this to happen in our community. This is just, it's just amazing. When you ask for help, how people in our area step forward. I think that's who we really need to recognize. You know, we are the ones who are making it come forward, but they're the ones who are supporting it by opening their wallets and opening their hearts and opening their homes.
And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for members of the community who might not have been the opportunity to go out to Heron.
Exactly.
You mentioned from nursing homes.
Exactly.
The elderly.
Exactly.
Who might not be. If I could throw a word in for Shakespeare, a lot of times people think, oh, it's Shakespeare.
Right. Ugh. I don't understand it.
But let me tell you something. I used to teach Shakespeare back in my day when I was employed, and it's one thing to read Shakespeare, and my problem is that my Romeo sounded like my Juliet, that sounded like my Petruchio, you know, that when you see Shakespeare performed, you're just absolutely, you know, blown away at how understandable it is when you get to see real live people. Because Shakespeare was meant to be seen and heard, not read. And what I like about what Montana Shakespeare in the Parks does, as well as what you're doing here, you know, when you think of the original Globe Theater, I mean, there's a lot of activities, people selling things, there were distractions, and this is part of the original input of Shakespeare.
Basically, we're recreating the way that Shakespeare had wanted it, because you're right, that's what would happen. Outside of the theater, it was an opportunity for the locals to come together. They bring their pigs, their vegetables. They would sell stuff. They would trade.
A baby would cry. They'd continue right on.
Exactly.
And so don't be reluctant to go out to the fairgrounds if you have a three-year-old. Let the three-year-old run around and watch Weasel forge and listen to the flute music and things like that. And maybe they'll be tuckered out by then and you can watch the play without being concerned about them.
There's another aspect of the performance of the Montana Shakespeare in the Park, people, is that it's not done in the old Victorian or Elizabethan style of the stand and deliver Shakespeare that many of us do not, you know, understand. We don't speak Middle English. But no, these guys are acting their parts. And so even if you don't catch a phrase or a word or a turn of a phrase, as Shakespeare would say, you still understand what's going on because these people are doing a total performance. And the characters come alive. They're not standing and just speaking their lines. And so Shakespeare becomes alive and becomes, you know, a very understandable and human experience.
And current.
And very current as well.
Yeah. And if the weather does not look favorable, as Vicki said, going to move it indoors. And so that's not a problem at all either. So wouldn't you say, Christine, there's really no reason why not to come?
Exactly. Everyone should come.
And tell me, Christine, if this, in which I have no doubt in my mind that this is going to be a huge success, future plans?
Yes, I definitely want to continue this year after year. And this year I'm a little nervous because I don't know how many are coming for the audience. It's the first year. But we're going to do it again next year and the year after that, and hopefully expand on the events that surround the play, make it bigger and better every year. So, yep, we're here to stay.
It's like when you have a first child. You don't know what to expect. You don't know. And, you know, it's like all this big anticipation. But once the second child comes along, it's like, oh, yeah, the food fell on. It's fine. Pick it up. We don't have to use the special soap on the kid. That's fine.
Well, you have a learning curve.
Exactly.
Goes on there. Okay, so anything in conclusion that each of you would like to say about tomorrow's events beginning at 1 o'clock at the fairgrounds and the play on at 6? I'll start with Vicki.
What we will do, as we did in Heron, at the end of the performance, there will be a hat that will be passed, and it's basically just to help offset some of the costs. So if you feel like it, we'll pass a hat, and you know, you can throw a buck or two in the hat. But yes, we want everybody to come out and enjoy themselves. This is the first time we've actually had, that I know of, we've had a Renaissance actual festival in the city of Sandpoint or in the area. And to have the opportunity with Weasel and his crowd here will just be amazing for everyone. So yes, please join us.
So yes, if you can get off work early on Friday, come down and join us.
And even if you don't get off work early, come down at 4 o'clock or 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
Definitely see the Shakespeare performance, even if you don't get to the Renaissance Village.
And I'd just like to thank the volunteers and everyone who has helped out to make this what it is. And just come and visit us.
Excellent. I want to thank Vicki and Weasel and Christine for coming down to this radio station. Again, Shakespeare, Montana Shakespeare in the Parks, tomorrow, Friday, 1 o'clock, the gates open and you can avail yourself of an opportunity to see a Renaissance village and everything that comes along with it. And you will be kept busy from 1 until about 5. And then at 6 o'clock, the play. Oh, I do want to ask one question. Can people bring alcohol in the coolers?
Yes. Yes, they can.
Okay.
They can bring alcohol into the park,
and
into the village.
Into the village. And my mother would want to know, are there going to be restrooms?
Yes. In fact, we're bringing in the, there are facilities at the fairgrounds, but we're also bringing in porta potties as well.
Excellent. Excellent. I wish you just the best success tomorrow, and let's hope the weather holds. And again, 6 o'clock is the play, 1 o'clock the village opens. And Christine, if anyone has any questions, contact information?
You can contact Lost Horse Press at 208-255-4410 or email us at losthorsepress@mindspring.com.
Thank you very much, and thanks for starting off your day with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for letting us come over and visit.
You betcha. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you. We'll be going right back to your regularly scheduled programming now. It's Otto's Eclectic Mix, starting off with Tom Rush and Jazz Man and Jonah. Great song.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Good way to begin the day.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio.